This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The big question, how sacred is that mortgage interest deduction on your home?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Happy Friday. This week, we've been telling you about a commission that convened to throw out some federal deficit-cutting ideas. Along with hiking the retirement age and cutting entitlements, another thought floating around Washington now is to eliminate the mortgage interest deduction from home loans bigger than $500,000. Jill Schlesinger is editor-at-large at CBS Money Watch. She's with us live from New York to talk about it. Good morning, Jill.
Good morning.
Now, this is a very popular deduction, and as a former mortgage holder, I was very happy I could claim this on my taxes. I mean, how much does the mortgage interest deduction play into the housing market?
It is a pretty big factor, especially when you're talking about those big, fat loans that are over $500,000. And obviously, this affects your monthly cost and your housing expenses. And if you're counting on getting a little bit of money back every year from Uncle Sam because of that deduction, you may say, hey, I would have purchased a cheaper home had I known I would lose that deduction.
A little bit of money, too. I mean, that's really a lot of money when you think about it over the
Absolutely.
Course of time. Do we have any example, Jill, of anything like this from the past?
Well, we do. We have the Tax Reform Act of 1986 under President Reagan, and that was when the deduction for personal interest, which was included interest on credit card purchases, was phased out. Now, here's the neat thing to consider. Since 1986 till now, it doesn't appear that the phase out of that deduction actually hurt the credit card industry at all. In fact, we know that credit cards actually, you know, gazimbled, quintupled, whatever the number is in those 25 years.
All right. Really quick, Jill, the chances of this being done politically, between 1 and 10, give me a number.
I think that this actually, if it's high enough threshold, has probably a 6. And I know there's going to be big lobbying against it. But again, for all of these things to go through, there has to be a feeling that there is shared pain. If one group, say, the upper income people think they're shouldering too much of the burden, it's not going to work. But if it's broad based and everybody is giving something up in order to cut the deficit, then I think there's some chances here.
Jill Schlesinger from CBS Money Watch, thanks.
Take care.
All right. Congress will have other tax matters to look at when members reconvene Monday, specifically what to do about Bush-era tax cuts that are set to expire this year. President Obama said today the nation cannot afford to extend cuts that affect the nation's wealthiest, but is open to compromise. There's already a proposal on the table from Democratic Senator Mark Warner. Marketplace's Elisa Roth reports.
The senator's idea looks something like this. He laid it out in an op-ed in the Financial Times. Go ahead and let the tax cuts for the wealthiest taxpayers expire. That's something the Republicans oppose. But extend the tax credit for everybody else. And then make up the $65 billion in revenue that will be lost by pushing corporations to spend, by offering them special tax cuts and incentives to spur the economy. Warner's argument is that corporate America has been raking in the money, but it's been reluctant to make big investments or create new jobs. Len Berman is a public affairs professor at Syracuse University. He says it makes more sense to tax rich executives because taxing corporations more discourages them from doing business here.
The main point is that corporations don't really pay taxes. People pay taxes. And the ideal thing would be a tax system where you... The people who are reaping the big rewards from corporations pay more individual income taxes.
Warner's proposal might offer the Obama administration a way to reassure Democrats who want to reinstitute higher tax rates for wealthy Americans and to reassure Republicans who want to help businesses. I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Well, markets are down around the world with fears about Irish sovereign debt. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow was off 73 points to end the day at 11,283.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at microsoft.com/cloud. By The Economist, covering news and ideas from around the world and the connections between them. The Economist, on newsstands, in bookstores, and at The Economist online. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 800-555-TREE.
A museum that highlights American Jewish history opens its doors this weekend in Philadelphia. But organizers wanted to be true to the religion, so there are discussions about when to open and how to do business. Reporter Joel Rose explains.
On the day I visited, the front desk clerks at the National Museum of American Jewish History were using fake money to test out the registers.
Right, so the total for that is $90
towards your family membership one.
When the museum opens, the clerks will take in real cash, except on Saturday. According to religious law, Jews aren't supposed to work or handle money on Shabbat. Museum director Michael Rosenzweig says this prompted some heated discussions among the board members.
There were some on the board who felt we should close, simply close, for all Jewish holidays and Shabbat. There were some who felt we should never close.
That tension between religious observance and integration shows up many times in the museum's exhibits about the history of Jews in America. In the end, Rosenzweig says the board settled on a compromise.
We decided to remain open on Saturdays and on most Jewish holidays. But on those days, we will not engage in commercial transactions on the premises of the museum.
The museum and its gift shop will accept credit cards on Shabbat, but it won't actually process the transactions until the holiday is over. Jewish museums all over the country wrestle with doing business on Saturday. Judy Margles chairs the Council of American Jewish Museums.
You might miss outreach to the non-Jewish audiences, people who are out on the street on a Saturday, people who don't have a lot of time during the week to visit your museum.
That's a concern for the National Museum of American Jewish History in Philadelphia. Its new building is practically next door to Independence Hall and the Liberty Bell. And Michael Rosenzweig expects Saturdays to account for a quarter of attendance.
We are on Independence Mall. Saturday is a huge day on the mall. That would be a very significant sacrifice of revenue.
Rosenzweig says he'd like the museum to be free on Shabbat, like some other Jewish institutions. But he says that will only work if he finds a generous donor to make up the difference. In Philadelphia, I'm Joel Rose for Marketplace.
And finally, Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II has a new Facebook page. It's new and already has tens of thousands of fans. Unfortunately, some haven't been very nice. One commenter wrote on her wall, quote, "Get a job, pay your taxes, and be productive." That's what you get, Your Majesty, when you mingle with the commoners. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Big chains from Toys R Us to Borders are leasing temporary spaces and opening pop-up stores.
It's really, I think, about capturing the consumer's first impulse to make a purchase.
I'm Bob Moon. Visit while it lasts next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.